What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. The history the government hopes you never learn. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to our show, hour number three. The phone lines are open, 800-313-9443, and we're going to start taking some phone calls. Jim in New York, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind today?
Hey, aloha, Mike. How are you? Thanks for being a great host. You always take my calls. I appreciate it very much.
Well, thank you for the kind words. What's on your mind today?
I wanted to talk about the... Evidently, the elitists are making plans to leave the country and go to countries that have non-extradition treaties with the U.S., one being Hillary, who sent $1.3 billion to Qatar.
I have not found confirmation that the money was sent, but I'm absolutely in agreement that all of these elites, understanding that a Trump win next week means jail sentences, I'm sure they have bailout plans.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to know. How true do you think that is?
That they have plans of escape in case things go to heck? I'm sure at that level of government they all do. Again, the only part of the story that I'm not sure about is this idea that Hillary sent $1.8 billion to Qatar. I cannot find a second source on that. And in any event, it's irrelevant.
$5 million home in United Arab Emirates. And the Bush is also buying 100,000 acres in Paraguay.
Yeah, that much I know about.
So it looks like they're making plans just in case Trump gets in.
Well, you know, if Barack Obama is going to leave the United States, and anybody from the White House is listening to this, Claire and I would be very happy to house-sit their home here on Oahu. Over there on the other place. It's really nice. I'm good at fixing things up, keeping the wiring working and all the rest of that stuff. I can give you references.
Well, I saw a funny cartoon today where they were nailing down the furniture in the White House in case Hillary gets back in.
Yeah, they need to do that. Nails, welding it, Velcro, whatever it's going to take. And you know something? After all the negative press she got from when she and Bill looted the White House furniture at the end of his term in office, she went ahead and did the same thing with the State Department again. And you want to know something? I saw photos of some of the furniture that she'd taken from the State Department. It was ugly stuff. It's like the only reason she took it was, because she could get away with it. And it's not stuff I would have in my home. And, of course, I'm not any kind of a champion of interior decor. My home is decorated early Salvation Army. But there are limits that even I will not go to, such as floral sofas.
Well, let's pray. Personally, I think it's going to be a landslide for Trump.
I think it will be a landslide for Trump. The only unknown issue is if the corporate media is going to stand up there and lie through their teeth and say, wow, what a surprise, late night surge of votes put Hillary over the top. And that'll trigger the revolution.
The only thing I'm worried about is the Electoral College.
Again, it's not over until it's over. And the question is, are they really willing to risk an outright revolution in this country to steal the country one more time? And, it's dicey in the extreme.
That's a distinct possibility.
All right.
Anyway, let's pray Trump wins and sets the country on the right course.
All right, well, let's do more than pray. Let's get on out there and vote for Trump, wear our red shirts on Election Day, and continue to take all of this information about the Clinton corruption, especially that smoking gun email that they made the choice to scrub the private server of emails after the story broke, went public. They had a subpoena. Okay, that
I'm
needs to get on
part.
Out there.
I have 2-foot by 6-foot signs on my pickup truck saying, vote for Trump, America first.
Absolutely. All right, Jim, thanks an awful lot. We're going to go to Paul in Ohio. Aloha, Paul. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Aloha, Mike. How are you?
Fine.
Good. You had a caller earlier stating about, asking if Trump was going to do term limits and restructuring that process. And I'm tired of hearing everybody asking if the government is going to do term limits or expecting the federal government to change term limits when you like to quote the Declaration of Independence when evil is become insufferable, but also in that same paragraph, it says we have the right to alter or abolish government. The term limits were never written into the Constitution because those rights are reserved to the people of the states and the states thereof. It's up to the people of their individual state to amend their Constitution to say, hey, we're only going to send representatives for X amount of terms and no more. We don't have to look to the federal government to make our lives better. It's up to us as people to do that for ourselves. If we
you're part of a growing segment of the population who understands that. One of the problems we have right now is there are too many people, including people who called into the show earlier today, who still think the legal system is working and they can find some standing and go into a court and have some judge say, yes, this is wrong, we're going to change it. And that is simply not going to happen. Okay, we are way past the point where this nation can be saved through legal operation. The system has hardened itself against any interference from outside. It goes all the way back to 1981 when the Supreme Court took away the right of individual citizens to file criminal charges, and that made it the government's purview to decide who does and does not get prosecuted for crimes, and obviously they do not prosecute themselves for all these crimes they've been committing. We're going to take a second to do a shout-out to our on-air affiliates who are just now rejoining our network. And go ahead. You were going to say one more thing.
Yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there just to hopefully create the change in the mindset of the people that we got to quit looking to the federal government to make our lives better. We have all the rights at our disposal if we just look within ourselves and within our state to make it happen at a local level to start moving on up the chain.
Well, because of the Supremacy Clause, I mean, look at what happened with Arizona when Arizona wanted to enforce the integrity of their borders, and the federal government came on in and said, no, you will let the illegals in. We have decreed it, mahi dictum est. And working from the bottom up to change our states and then to get the states to change the federal government, it's not going to happen. We're living in a dictatorship. There is no legal remedy for a dictatorship. You might as well get used to that idea right now. Okay. All right. We're going to let you go. Switch over to Guy in Los Angeles. Aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Mike Levish. Hey, I just hope that when these guys start leaving America that we can extradite them back for treason.
Well, not necessarily for treason, but for corruption and various other things. I mean, treason is a very narrow definition. I think if we widen our ambitions a little bit, cast a wider net, we'll get a lot more people. I think what's really most important is that their illegally obtained wealth be renationalized through the RICO statutes. And personally, I can't think of a way to punish a money junkie more than to take their money away from them and make them live like ordinary poor Americans. That's a fate worse than jail. It's a fate worse than death. And I think that's what they all deserve. Put them all in Section 8 housing.
What about the Queen of England saying, enjoy your last Christmas? Now, what do you think she meant by that?
I have to be honest, I don't really know. It may be a pander to the Islamification of Europe under this whole refugee situation, or it may be a recognition that if the shopping malls can't make any money on the Christmas shopping season, why bother to have the holiday anyway? Personally, I think those who are raised with that tradition are going to go on celebrating Christmas, and they don't care what the Queen of England says. I certainly don't.
I think she's part of the cabal, though. I think she knows that it's all going down this year and that she's part of it. She's funding the Rothschilds. She's part of the whole cabal.
Well, it could be her last Christmas, but I don't think it's going to be my last Christmas.
Well, it may be if the economy goes down. Now, the thing
wait a minute. So you've fallen into this trap of thinking that you can only celebrate Christmas if you got gobs of money going down to the shopping mall and buying things. That's not what Christmas is about. I learned that when I was in Germany and I got to experience Christmas at the Marienplatz. Okay, and I'm not religious, but I was raised with that Christmas tradition. You can have a Christmas just by having your family sitting around singing Christmas carols. That's not going to go away. No matter what the economy does, people are going to be looking for reasons to mark and celebrate certain occasions, whether it's Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, Groundhog Day, whatever. People are looking for that, and they're going to go ahead and celebrate that regardless of their ability to go down to the shopping malls. It's a big lie that Christmas has to be celebrated through the shopping malls. That's utter nonsense.
I totally agree. But I'd just like to see her... a follow-up on that statement of hers, because it seems to me to be treason. Now,
it doesn't qualify as treason. Stupidity, yes, but maybe that's the result of too much inbreeding in the royal family. Anyway, we're going to let you go here. Thank you very much, and switch over to James in North California. Aloha, James. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. There's been a lot of talk and studies and actually a book written that was popular 15 years ago by Malcolm Gladwell called The Tipping Point and The 100th Monkey Thing and a lot of, studies on the subject. And they all pretty much concurred that it took about 10-20% to change the consciousness of a society.
Yes.
And a pessimist would have to say that we're well beyond that.
We are. We very much are. I mean, George Washington and the boys drove the British out of our country with less than 30% popular support. Of course, after it was all over and life got a lot better, everybody hopped on board and said, yeah, this was a good idea after all. But definitely we're past that 20% in our current situation. In fact, the people who still think the media can be trusted and the government is working for their benefit, they're now clearly a minority. The consciousness of the American public is shifting dramatically, or Hillary and her people wouldn't be having this much trouble trying to steal the White House.
And if you had to pick a day, it kind of felt to me like Friday, the 28th. That was the day that you I think that's the day that it officially, irreversibly flipped.
I think we would be wise to let the historians make that judgment as to when the watershed moments happened. It certainly felt like it, but there have been times in the past that felt like, okay, we're past a turning point, and we wait. We're definitely on a path to the collapse of the United States government. When it's going to happen, we really don't have any way of knowing. Time will solve that mystery for us, okay? So, James, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much. We're going to switch over to Mateus in Canada. Aloha, Mateus. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Oh, hey, Michael. Yeah, just for the other caller, treason is giving aid and comfort to the enemy during wartime.
That's what Obama and Hillary Clinton were doing, sending weapons to ISIS and Al-Qaeda in Syria. They were technically committing treason, which is punishable by a rope party.
Yeah, look up in the Constitution what that can get you. It's pretty serious.
Yes.
Okay, so I just wanted to just quickly go back into history. Like in Europe, the people were fighting against the crowns, and then the people started winning. We got the Magna Carta that resulted in the American Constitution, the Canadian Constitution. The control freaks, they had to kind of go underground and pretend to let us have our democracy, and they reluctantly we got some of our power in our hands, but they never really went away. They just engaged in, like, stealing the elections and placing their people. Now it's kind of like a boil, like a boil that's coming to the surface. All this suppressed control is now coming to the surface, and now it's a crisis where the people can see, and who knows what's going to happen. Now, I wanted to mention that you have already laid out the reasons why to hold off on a physical confrontation, and I agree with them. And I want to add to that one reason why holding off could get us into trouble, and that is because of the rise of the robots, the rise of the machines. So we've already got machines in manufacturing and in military. We've got drones and everything. So fast forward, 5 or 10 years, we'll probably have, like army personnel, and we just got to be careful that they may be kind of afraid to directly confront us right now because we might win. But in 5 or 10 years, the robots will not refuse an illegal order, and they may be worried that the humans will refuse illegal orders, but the robots are. So just something to consider that.
Well, you know, with all due respect to James Cameron, it's an issue of economics. You know, flesh and blood soldiers are very, very cheap to come by. Robots are very, very expensive. And ultimately, when you look at the amount of resources that goes into a robot, it's one thing to invest in a robot that's going to be working for year after year after year, putting rear view mirrors on driver's side doors of cars, and quite another to spend all that money on a robot that's life expectancy in the field can be measured in hours. They've already made that mistake with the F-35. It's hideously expensive, and it's not likely to survive very long. War, to be winnable, has to be cost-effective, and an army of robots is not cost-effective. There are always going to be ways to jam them. They're expensive to make. Looking at the quality of computer software coming out of the United States right now, I personally don't think they can get into work. These things could turn around and start shooting their own officers.
Well, yeah, they probably would eventually turn and destroy the whole military that made them, just like the internet is destroying the control grid right now. Like, they're hacking themselves. They're hacking themselves to pieces right now with their own spy net. It's kind of funny in a way. But I want to mention that you're right about the robots being too expensive now, but my point is that there may be a time in the future when they get really efficient. You got the robots making the robots repairing the robots. And there are certain cost savings, you know, like you don't have to worry about any sort of retirement packages. And you don't have to worry about, like,
well, I'm afraid. Hang on. If we get to that point where the robots are that autonomous, there's going to be no point in having war, because there's no point in conquering us and forcing us to do what they want when they've got the robots to take care of themselves. You know, they might just take their robots and build their golden palaces on the tops of mountains and just leave the rest of us alone. They wouldn't have a need for us anymore. They wouldn't need to control us anymore.
Well, they got to get rid of us. They have to get rid of us at one point, or else we're going to resist this system, this anti-human agenda. So they might be planning to use the robots to get rid of us.
Well, this is all kind of blue sky, and you know, we're talking way down the road, and we need to stay focused on the next 7 days, okay? So, Mateus, we're going to let you go here, and we're going to close the phone lines for a little bit because I do have a bunch of news. We're way behind the talking points. So we're looking at these stories that are coming out in the corporate media. Somebody has noticed that all of a sudden Washington elites are unfriending and unfollowing Hillary Clinton. And it's a very, very minor thing, but it's symbolic. If you remember an earlier time in the United States, the small community with the church and everything, there was a practice called shunning. If you did something the community did not approve of, they would literally refuse to talk to you. They wouldn't look at you. You still would go on out, work your farm and feed your family and everything, but you were ostracized. And I think what we're seeing on the social media is sort of the 21st century version of shunning, where they're starting to disconnect. And that may portend some dramatic changes here. Now, up in Pennsylvania, the state police have raided another Democratic group over the issue of fraudulently created voter registration records. And they have apparently found voter registration records that seem to have been run off in series with just slight changes to the names and addresses in order to allow illegals to vote fraudulently in the upcoming election. It's all over the place here. Now, apparently, a watchdog has noticed Virginia has printed up 1 million provisional ballots. This is an unprecedented number, and the concern is they're going to use these provisional ballots to allow disqualified felons to vote for president in what is a crucial swing state. And again, they're not supposed to vote, but we have all of these state governors and all these politicians that are out there saying, yeah, let's let the felons vote. Let's let the illegals vote. It's going to be okay this time. No, it isn't. The law is very strict on all of these issues. And we have a government that, as a whole, has become criminal. Because their attitude is, the laws don't apply to us. They apply to you, not to us. Got to take a break for commercials. We'll be right back.
Angioprim can unclog blocked arteries and improve blood flow in all parts of your body. Angioprim is oral chelation. Easy, simple, liquid oral chelation. You take it with juice before breakfast and forget about it. Angioprim works fast, unlike old-fashioned chelation that takes hours. Just log on to angioprim.com. That's Angioprim, A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M, angioprim.com. Angioprim users say they have more energy, more strength, more endurance. Increased circulation and blood flow will make all your body parts work better. Log on to angioprim.com to get more information on how you can get started and start feeling better, having fun, and doing more again. Lots more. Talk to a trained Angioprim consultant. Call Angioprim toll-free at 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221. Or log on for complete information. Angioprim.com. That's angioprim.com. Find out how Angioprim can work for you. Get the facts about Angioprim at angioprim.com.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop, it's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
What Really Happened with your host, Mike Rivero. Visit us online at whatreallyhappened.com. Here is your host, Michael Rivero.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show. And I'd like to take a moment to put forward the major, major problem the U.S. government is facing right now. Now, I've mentioned many times before that government actually operates much like a religion. It depends on the acolytes, the citizens, the followers, the subjects, believing as they are told to believe. Now, we know that the U.S. government maintained hegemonic domination over the world's economy following World War II because the world believed that the U.S. paper dollar was solid, reliable, and dependable and backed by gold, up until Nixon said, actually, no, we don't have enough gold to back all of this. The Nixon shock, as it were. And now we're seeing the result. The world is turning away from the dollar because they realize it's just ink and paper. And the only thing really backing up the U.S. dollar is the future slave labor of the American people. And the American people are getting sick and tired of being slaves to the bankers. Now, on a larger scale, there's a similar problem going on. How does the establishment steal the election for Hillary Clinton without destroying the public's belief that we have good government? That's what's really at risk here. If Hillary's people steal the election next week, there's going to be a crisis of faith in the U.S. political system. Now, the American people have been willing to put up with a lot of abuses on this belief that somehow or other we voted for all this. When they realize that is simply not true, that we've had fraudulent elections going back all the way to Kennedy Nixon and even before that, this idea that we're not really in control of this government is going to be the beginning of the end. Because without the government having the trust and faith of the American people, it simply can't function. It's like I was telling that caller earlier in the show. If Hillary steals this election, she's going to go into the Oval Office in charge of a government that's completely paralyzed. She herself is going to be paralyzed, having to deal with all the impending investigations and all the looting and plundering of the nation to please her financial backers. And she will be powerless to do anything else other than that. And she'll be in charge of a government that is trying to rule a population that simply is not going to listen to them anymore. Not going to fill out the required paperwork. Not going to comply with the regulations. Not going to put the stickers on. Certainly not pay the bills on this out-of-control spending, which we now all realize was done without our permission and blessing. And certainly not to sacrifice life and limb of our children in wars of conquest to which we also did not give our consent. It's a fundamental principle of our nation. Governments derive their just powers from the consent of the governed. And our government has tried to maintain that illusion that we consent to what they are doing, no matter how abominable it may be. And that is now at risk. That's at jeopardy. If Hillary steals this election next week, it will be the end of the United States. The central federal government will be paralyzed. The American people will not have any sense of loyalty or inclination to obey that central government. And it's all going to fall apart the way the Soviet Union did, for precisely the same reasons. Now, yet another email has surfaced showing that Democratic National Chairperson Donna Brazile was feeding Clinton camp debate questions in advance from her contacts at CNN. She was a contributor at CNN before taking over the chairmanship of the Democratic Party after Debbie Wasserman Schultz was forced to step down. Now, CNN has severed the relationship with her. Donna Brazile is still out there denying she did anything wrong. But at this point, it's sending yet another message to the voters. Hillary Clinton cheated the debates. She had the questions in advance. She cheated, she cheated, she cheated. Do we want somebody who cheats as president of the United States? I certainly do not. Got to take a break for more commercials. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for a fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin, as the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Work with your doctor when taking medications. Make ProtoVite part of your healthy lifestyle.
HealthForLiberty.com is your source for ProtoVite, a powerful nutritional supplement that's a true breakthrough for your health. Poor digestion makes it nearly impossible to absorb the nutrition your body needs. ProtoVite is a liquid multi-nutrient formula with patent-pending absorption technology and the highest quality ingredients to nourish every cell in your body.
My name is Sandra White. 6 weeks ago when I started taking ProtoVite, I was on 14 medications, from everything for blood pressure to fibromyalgia. In the first 10 days, my blood sugar dropped 50 points and my fibromyalgia pain is gone. And so was 12 of the 14 medications that I was taking. I'm 66, living life and loving it.
Go to healthforliberty.com right now. That's healthforliberty.com.
Thank you, ProtoVite, for giving my life back.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutral. Neutralizing the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutraMedical.com.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
What really happened with your host, Mike Rivero? Join Mike on the air. Call toll-free 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. We're talking about Donna Brazile, who has now been separated from CNN over this revelation that she was feeding Hillary Clinton's campaign town hall and debate questions ahead of time, so that Hillary could memorize an answer to them, because Hillary cannot think on her feet. And it's just a reminder, CNN is helping Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton's campaign is cheating. What a terrible example they are setting for young people in this country. Now, Donald Trump had a very pertinent question. Why didn't Hillary Clinton report Donna Brazile for feeding her the questions? It was a violation of the rules. That means that Hillary was part of the cheating. She can't claim that she was innocent, that she didn't know what was going on. She was part of it. Been doing a little digging on that claim that Hillary sent $1.8 billion to Qatar, and it tracks back to Sorcha Fall and whatdoesitmean.com. And anything coming out of What Does It Mean and Sorcha Fall is junk. Remember what I said before. Part of the strategy of the establishment is to throw as much nonsense into the discussions as possible to keep us all confused. And so anything coming out of Sorcha Fall is complete and total USDA choice bovine excrement. All righty. Now, as I mentioned before, we're starting to see the 21st century equivalent of shunning going on. Apparently, Michelle Obama scrubbed all references to Hillary Clinton from both her Twitter accounts following the announcement of the reopening of the FBI email probe and FBI investigations into the Clinton Foundation. Starting to do that whole separation thing going on here. Well, apparently Clinton is still trying to patch bridges there and has sent a signal saying that Michelle Obama would be welcome on President Hillary Clinton's cabinet. I have no idea what Michelle would be qualified to do as a member of the cabinet. When you look at the mess up she made of the student lunch program. All right, we're going to take a phone call. Andy in Texas, aloha. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Nice to talk to you again. Hey, here's my big concern here. We got Donald, let's just assume Donald Trump wins, and then he convenes courts to have these people tried and whatnot. Well, all these idiots that he's going to want to try, they put together these courts. They appointed the judges. They got the special prosecutors and stuff. So how is that going to work out, my friend?
Well, Donald Trump as president is capable. First of all, he's going to replace the attorney general. And anything under the executive branch, Trump can fire them all and replace them with people who will do the job they're supposed to do. Bill Clinton did that when he became president. He fired every single U.S. attorney in the entire country and replaced them with cronies who would protect the Clintons and the Bushes' drug empire. And on that precedent, Trump could do exactly the same thing. All Donald Trump has to do is start firing people at the top who refuse to do their jobs, and everybody below will line up.
Well, hey, just on another note, I'm watching the national news on the corporate media, and they're actually saying that Donald Trump is 1% ahead of Hillary Clinton.
No, that's coming from ABC and Washington Post, and if they're admitting that he's ahead by 1 point, it's probably more likely close to 20. Because they've been oversampling Democrats. They're trying to sell this. But Hillary's in serious, serious trouble, and who knows what's going to happen. She could very well have Bill assassinated and try and ride the sympathy vote into the White House.
Well, I'm a little concerned about what's going to happen here, because I think it's pretty obvious who's winning this election and winning it very big right now. I'm really concerned about what is going to happen. I'm hunkering down. I've got my food and my water all together. I really think that something's going to happen at the end of this election. Either way, whoever gets in there, I mean, if they steal it from Donald Trump and give it to Hillary, people are going to be upset. If they give it to Donald Trump,
and they ought to be
instigators. Yeah. Absolutely.
They ought to be angry. And I want to tell you, I have a zero tolerance policy on election fraud. And I hold that if a government cannot prove beyond all doubt the honesty, accuracy, and fairness of the elections by which they claim authority over us, then we the people are neither legally nor morally obligated to obey that government's dictates, to pay its bills, or to sacrifice the lives of our children in that government's wars of conquest. The burden of proof is on them, especially with all the evidence of election fraud that has already surfaced. They're going to sit up there and say, you prove we cheated. We don't have to prove that you cheated. We've seen the cheating. You are the one
exactly.
Who is coming up and saying you are now the legal, legitimate government of this country. We, the people, demand that you document that you have attained that power in accordance with the law. And if you can't, then we're just not going to listen to you anymore.
Well, and you know what? I mean, I've already done that. I don't pay any taxes. I mean, I pay sales tax or whatever, but I deal in cash. If you can't pay me in cash, I ain't working for you. I just don't play this game anymore. I'm done with these people. I did my time in the military. I'm very embarrassed for the fact that I did that. I got children in this world. I'm so disgusted with myself. But I'm more disgusted with my government, not my country. Love my country. This is a beautiful land, but I am disgusted with my government. Anyway, thank you, Mike. Appreciate your time.
All right, you got it. I remember back when I think it was George W. Bush was out there, saying that it's impossible to say you love your country but don't love your government. Like, the country is 300 million Americans. It's 3,000 miles of beautiful scenery. The government is this little tiny malarial swamp over there, tucked in near Maryland, Virginia. The government is not the country. The government is supposed to be the janitor for the country, if you think about it.
Truth be told, yeah, that's absolutely the way it should be. And this whole D.C. thing, I don't know where that came from, because it doesn't even fit into the United States anyway, so we're being ruled from a foreign land, far as I'm concerned, but that's a whole other story.
Well, you know, you need to go back and remember the reason why we're called America versus Colombia, having to do with how they tried to cheat Columbus out of his discovery and hand it to a political crony, Amerigo Vespucci, whose only claim to fame prior to being given the ships and money to come across and colonize America was a favored writer of pornographic literature for the court. And so just like politics today, we're going to take the credit away from those who've really done it, and we're going to give it to somebody that we really like and make them famous. And had it not been for Columbus's son taking up the challenge, we would all be giving the credit to the discovery of the New World to the wrong person, at least in terms of Europe. We know now that Columbus and Amerigo Vespucci were not the first of the New World. The Vikings got there before that. The Egyptians got there before that. They were buying cocaine for the pharaohs. The Chinese got here. And then, of course, there are those people who became the Native Americans who walked over dodging mammoths and saber-toothed tigers. So this idea that somebody discovered the New World was nonsense. There were already people there saying, hi, you know, what are you doing here? You guys look funny. And I'm sure the Native Americans, you know, were looking at Columbus and his people coming on board and saying, boy, these people are weird. They don't speak our language. They don't believe our religion. But, you know, we'll let them on in. What harm could they possibly cause?
Well, you just blew up all the history books we've been reading and being taught in school right there.
We're all adults. We're all adults. We're all going to have to realize that we have been lied to a lot in our life, okay? And I'll give you one example that I found personally devastating. Coyotes can run at 45 miles per hour. Roadrunners can only do 20. That was the last cherished illusion of my childhood to fall.
Way to go, Mike. That's a good way to end the call.
All right. Thanks an awful lot. Okay, I think, let's see, Michael in Ireland, aloha, welcome to the show, what's on your mind?
Last week you succinctly distinguished capitalism, socialism, and fascism, and you compared them. Could you do that again, please?
Well, just real quick, capitalism is a system in which you make money, you get to keep it. If you lose money, you are responsible for that loss, because freedom means not only the freedom to succeed, but the freedom to fail and the responsibility to accept either outcome. Socialism is a system in which if you make money, it's taxed away from you to benefit society. If you lose money, society is taxed to cover the losses so you can pick up and try again. Fascism is a system in which if you make money, you're allowed to keep it, but if you lose money, society is taxed to cover the losses. And looking at TARP and bailouts and all of this other stuff where the American people are being looted and plundered and impoverished to prop up Wall Street, it's very obvious that we have become a fascist economic dictatorship. We stopped being a truly capitalist nation decades ago.
Decades ago? How many decades exactly?
Between 2 and 3. We'd have to go back and, you know, it's not like somebody threw a switch where there's this big dial that says capitalism and fascism and somebody went ka-chunk. It was a transition. And interestingly enough, Vladimir Lenin predicted that when Western capitalism failed, it would inevitably deteriorate into fascism to preserve the rank, wealth, and privilege of the elites. And that's exactly what has happened.
Okay, thank you.
All right, thank you. We're going to switch over to Gina in Texas. Aloha, Gina. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. Aloha.
Aloha.
I need some clarification. I've listened to you for a long time, and I don't know if I'm mistaken or not, but I was under the impression that Kumi was hooked into the HSBC bank scandal and was not such a good guy, and all of a sudden the last few days that's all I've been hearing is what a fine upstanding Republican he is.
Well,
am I wrong in that?
Well, you're hearing it from people who are supportive of his reopening the investigation into the email server. But if you look at the circumstances of what happened, you'll realize Comey is still being Comey. His hand was forced because this laptop with the 650,000 emails was actually uncovered by police investigators up in New York, who were investigating Anthony Weiner's wiener and his online seduction of an underage girl. And when they were examining the laptop, they found these emails and they said, all right, we're going to report it to the FBI and we're going to go public. And so at that point, Comey's hand was forced. Loretta Lynch said, don't mention it. It's too close to the election. But if Comey had stayed silent and the New York authorities had said, yes, there are all these State Department emails and the FBI was informed and did nothing, then Comey is looking at obstruction charges. He's going to be the guy thrown under the bus for this whole scandal. So he felt he had to go public and say, yes, there's a new investigation because of the sheer scale of what happened. And that, of course, has led to the possibility of Huma Abedin facing a perjury charge and 5 years in prison. Hillary looking at obstruction of justice. It's definitely coming apart. But Comey did not do the good thing out of a sense of duty. His hand got forced by the New York police authorities and by his own FBI underlings who were on the verge of resignation and mutiny over what he did last summer. And so I wouldn't want to be James Comey right now, but then he did want the job, and now he's having to deal with it. He's still not a good guy. He's still not a good guy. Yeah. His hand got forced.
Okay. I feel like they've been trying to whitewash him over this last deal, and I feel like he's been connected to Loretta Lynch and Obama at the hip, and then all of a sudden, you know, he's got a halo. And I just wanted to make sure I had my facts straight. I understand his hand was forced.
They're trying to staple
this.
A halo on him, but it's not going to stick.
He was involved though, because I keep telling everybody, you know, that Comey and Loretta and Bill Clinton have all been together since Loretta Lynch was Attorney General for New York.
Okay, they don't call it Attorney General of New York. That's the state office. She was U.S. Attorney for New York, the federal office.
U.S. Attorney, yes.
And it was Loretta Lynch who gave HSBC the wrist slap settlement that allowed them to skate on the drug money laundering charges.
And what was Comey's part in that?
He was on the board of directors of HSBC when that all went down.
Okay, so was he personally responsible for the policies of the laundering the drug money in that
bank? Well, because Loretta Lynch basically pulled the rug out from any further investigation, we don't actually know. But it's hard to imagine somebody who's on the board of directors of a bank not looking at the bank's books and realizing that a major part of the bank's profits are tangled up with illicit money.
Okay. All right, well, that clarifies that for me, Mike. Thank you so much. I listen to you every day. You're doing warrior's work, and you have a lot of people out here. I tell everybody I know, listen to Mike Rivero. He's great.
All right, well, thank you for the very kind words here, and we're going to let you go and switch over to Tom in Florida. Aloha, Tom. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Yeah, hello, Michael. We got a week to go for the election. And I want to ask you, Michael, if Donald Trump gets 20% of the Afro-American vote, will he win the election next week? And I believe that if Donald Trump were to run an ad with this Danny Williams Clinton and then run an ad about that and let's go put this guy on Maury Povich show with Bill, let's see what happens then. If Trump can run an ad right before this election with Danny Williams Clinton and telling him to go on a Maury Povich show, I think this would... I think Trump will get 25% of the Afro-American vote and win this election in the landslide. But he has to do something like that. And also, Mike, I want to talk about, have you heard about...
Well, hang on. Let me respond to what you said, okay? If handled correctly, it could work, basically in the context of how Bill Clinton was not only the out-of-wedlock father of Danny, he was also a deadbeat dad. that he didn't contribute any support to this kid. And that, I think, if that's raised as an issue, that's going to find a lot more resonance among the black voters than a simple mistake of parentage, of not wearing the appropriate protection and everything. But for Hillary to be out there saying, we're going to take care of the black people, and then for Bill Clinton to basically abandon his own black son, that, I think, is going to, that could have an effect.
Hi, Michael. And, Michael, one more thing. Have you heard about Putin and the Russian military has a bomb called the Satan bomb? And he said if Hillary basically becomes president, he'll drop one right in the Midwest, and he'll detonate it up a couple of miles. I read that article
okay.
about
Hang on. Satan refers to an ICBM booster. The largest bomb they have is called the Tsar bomb, but I don't know that it's in active service, okay? We're going to have to let you go, and we'll be back with a final couple of phone calls in the end of our program today.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Would odors, mold, and mildew describe your basement or crawl space? It doesn't have to be that way. Transform them into a fresh, healthy, usable one with the technologically advanced Wave Moisture Control Units. The computerized operation maximizes moisture control and also expels harmful radon, combustion gases, and numerous other pollutants. Dehumidifiers are old technology that do nothing for air quality and waste energy. Wave units are intelligent, self-monitoring, do not need maintenance, and will save you hundreds in electricity. Wave units are still running effectively over 15 years. They've been tested and installed in public and military housing and by property managers nationwide. Buy a unit now, and if your home is not fresher and drier, you can return it for a full refund for up to 12 months. What have you got to lose? Call now. 1-888-618-WAVE. 1-888-618-WAVE. Or visit mydryhome.com. That's mydryhome.com.
Wave Home Solutions for a healthy, comfortable home.
When all this twist is steel was swept away, did these remaining holes reveal what really happened?
And aloha, America. Welcome back to the show here. Before we try and get through these last few phone calls before the top of the show, a couple of news stories coming on in. The FBI, responding to allegations by the Hillary Clinton campaign, has been looking in to links and ties between Donald Trump and Vladimir Putin. One of Hillary's pet prostitutes, correspondents in the corporate media, went as far as to say that Donald Trump has his own private email server in his home that's directly linked to the Kremvax. And, of course, all of it was nonsense. And the FBI has now said they are unable to see any links whatsoever between Donald Trump and his campaign and anybody in Russia. It's just another piece of made-up nonsense by a Hillary Clinton campaign that is in full-on panic mode. And we are getting late word as the FBI starts to dig in to the new 650,000 emails on the laptop. They're discovering it isn't old territory. They're finding new stuff. And they're already saying there's information there about Benghazi. And they think the missing 33,000 private emails may be there as well. This appears to have been a complete backup of the archive. All right, real quick phone calls. Laura in Kansas, welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I just went on YouTube and found a video that was just released where Steve Pashenik has, I guess, I'm not sure who he is, but I guess he's in with the intelligence community, that there has been a soft coup. That what the WikiLeaks were, and that Assange was actually working with intelligence here in the U.S. to do a soft coup and get Obama basically to let him know, we know what you guys are doing. Hillary's not going to be president, and we're going to do what we need to do to.
Well, I'll tell you what. Call me back with that same observation next Wednesday, okay? And we're going to switch over real quick to Will in Cincinnati. Aloha, Will. Welcome to the show. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mike. This was actually, I had a question, but also just a comment for the audience. I think everybody should now see that the momentum is shifting. So, like, you know, when the enemy is making a mistake, don't interrupt them. But we've still got to hold their feet to the fire. I was wondering if you knew any updates on the petition to remove the George Soros voting machines from the election in the emergency session, because I know the petition's reached 126,000 signatures, and I couldn't find anything on what the.
Well, I'm sure the official response is going to be it's too late to bring about that degree of change in the election system this close to the actual election. The problem is,
right,
those particular machines are not actually certified for U.S. national elections. They never should have been put in the first place.
Well, quick side note also, the timing of the trial we have going on here with the cop is, it's the jury set, they started, and it should be over within 7 to 10 days. So look at the timing there. I think it's to the point where we've almost reached critical mass. If they steal it, we're going to know.
You know, yeah, I think so. Real quick, I'm going to switch to Ed in Michigan. Aloha, Ed. What's on your mind? Ed, are you there?
Hey, Mike. Yeah, I'm here.
Real quick, what's on your mind? We're out of time.
First off, you have the that was the kill switch. That was Uma's kill switch.
I think
was.
It was your life insurance policy. Anyway, listen, we'll pick this up tomorrow. There's the music. I got to head on out of here, get something useful done with the rest of the day. I got a lot of work on my desk this afternoon. We'll be back tomorrow here at the Republic Broadcasting Network. Until then, you are all part of Rivero's Rangers. You're part of the independent media. Your mission, should you choose to accept it, is to reach out to as many of your fellow Americans as you can in the next 7 days and tell them that even if they don't have a reason to vote for Donald Trump, there are 1,000 reasons to vote against Hillary Clinton. We'll be back tomorrow. Aloha, America.
While the large majority of Americans have never heard of cryptocurrency, it is the medium of exchange of the future that has already begun. On the other hand, the large majority of RBN listeners are very aware of the corruption within the Fed and the trillions in counterfeit money and credit it has created. Well, would you like to do something about this? OneCoin, the fastest growing company of any kind in world history, will pay you to help do away with the Federal Reserve. Henry Ford didn't invent the automobile, but he surely developed many great improvements in the industry. In 1927, talking pictures made silent movies obsolete overnight, and email has practically done away with the need for
software fax machine. With cryptocurrency, Bitcoin became the pioneer in 2009. But now OneCoin is the first ever gold-backed cryptocurrency, has moved to the top of the industry in only 2 years, and its impact on the financial world could be devastating to the Fed. Bill Gates and Richard Branson and all the jillionaires are already acknowledging that this system of paying for goods and services is becoming what will be recognized as the new worldwide reserve currency. For more information, call Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911. Again, that's Pat Shannon at 601-212-0911.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.